You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Well, here we are again, Trey. I gotta say, if you went to shake my hand, I would definitely return with a handshake. I would not blow past you like some basketball players did to some people who shall remain nameless this weekend. It's Locked On Wolves with Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky. How you doing, my man?
Great. I'm liking that quick Blake Griffin snub right now. It's nice.
That was, I think, my favorite part of the weekend. I'm not going to lie to you. I think him snubbing Steve Ballmer was probably the best part of the weekend.
I like how he totally waved it off after the press conference instead of owning it, and then like immediately liked a tweet about him doing that right after the interview. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking about the situation and how they were basically saying that they're preparing to retire his jersey when he's done with the Clippers, and they want him to sign this max contract with them because he's the future and he's their guy and they're all in on Blake, and then they trade him. And if you have that situation where he's like snubbing the handshake, it's not anything really crazy. Like he's not yelling and screaming at him or anything like that. I feel like everybody kind of sides with Blake. And so for him to just say, oh no, this is just part of my routine, I never shake anybody's hand after I'm done shooting around, it's a weird way to try and dodge it. And then by going and liking a bunch of the posts about it from reporters afterwards, like dodge it and then not dodge it. It was a weird approach.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm him, like I'm totally angry and spiteful with Los Angeles being sent to Detroit of all places. That must be pretty rough. I know he's doing extremely well up there. It's just, what a change of scenery. If you had to pick two teams to like have the biggest difference, LA and Detroit would be the biggest difference out of all the NBA teams.
Well, that was my highlight from the weekend. We should probably talk about some of the Timberwolves highlights. We'll get to the game about the Mavericks game and the Pelicans game. We'll talk about both of those. And then we're going to talk, because there's exactly a week left of All-Star voting that you can do online, we're going to talk about the All-Star team a little bit, and as far as which Timberwolves players we actually think should be on the All-Star team and which ones have a realistic chance of making the All-Star team. I feel like there's a couple people that the listeners will anticipate us talking about right off the bat, but we're going to get to all that. First, let's get to what happened this weekend. So after Luka ripped out the heart of Timberwolves fans and of the Timberwolves team in Saunders' first home game as the interim head coach, they come right back and beat the Pelicans with Anthony Davis on the back of Towns in his 27-27 and 4 night. Back-to-back nights where he had 4 blocks, and he posted 27 rebounds. That's crazy.
Yeah, 27 boards, a few steals, 4 blocks. Held Anthony Davis to under 50% from the field, which is actually pretty astonishing since he's, you know, a top 3 player, top 5 player in this league. So that was an amazing performance from him. Not only that, the Pelicans had a couple guys that were going hard that game. It was Jrue Holiday and Julius Randle were playing really, really well. And it felt like Timberwolves had pretty inconsistent down the line amount of players besides Towns, except for some surprising performance. Tyus Jones did fairly well in the late game. Ultimately, Towns came away with a huge game this game, and I'm really happy for him that he's able to do this. He's playing crazy in the past 10 games. He's averaging 27.5 points per game in the past 10 outings, shooting 53% from the field and 38% from three, 17 boards a game in the past 10 games. That's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and that one, the starters for the Pelicans really highlighted for their night. 30 points from Davis. You had 25 from Holiday, 22 from Randle with 11 boards to go along with his points. But for the Timberwolves, outside of Towns and his 27-27 night, I thought it was really, I mean, I know Okogie had 17 points in his 41 minutes out there, but I thought it was really the bench that was the other headline for the Timberwolves. I mean, another night where Tyus Jones and Tolliver come up with double-digit points off the bench, and the 28 points that they had combined I thought were really important to the Timberwolves staying in this one. I don't think if they have such a good night from those guys off the bench, I don't know if they find those points somewhere in the starting lineup. I mean, Wiggins was 7 of 21. Bad Wiggins night. He had 18 points, but really inefficient shooting. You had Teague. He only took 5 shots, and he only knocked down one of his shot attempts, didn't even make it to the free throw line, and he had 10 assists that kind of covered that up, but 2 points for him. I just don't know if you find those points from any of the starters. Like, I don't know if Teague or Wiggins could have picked it up enough late in that game to the point where it saves them. So those bench points really crucial for the Timberwolves. Again, another game where Tolliver and Jones come up with double-digit points off the bench.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. The only two reliable guys on the Timberwolves besides Karl-Anthony Towns on a consistent basis this year are Robert Covington and Derrick Rose. And once both those guys are out, it just, you know, puts a lot of emphasis on Karl-Anthony Towns to have a big game. Fortunately, he came up huge in this one. And, of course, you know, the same old conversation. We need Andrew Wiggins to get more consistent buckets, and you need Jeff Teague to be a little bit more aggressive on the offensive end. I like that he was praising Tyus Jones for doing really well at the end of that last game. I think he posted an Instagram picture about him, too. So, you know, because Tyus Jones stole a lot of his minutes in the end of that game, too. But it's good to see the bench coming up clutch. Darius Arch had some key shots, too. Even Luol Deng had a three. So it was a solid performance from the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Any thoughts to you on the Mavericks game before we move on to All-Star conversation here? Any thoughts other than, I mean, obviously the initial thought is, wow, Luka is super good. If I'm the Hawks, or I don't know about the Grizzlies, I actually really like Jaren Jackson, but maybe the Kings, I'm feeling kind of bad right now. And I know that we're not very far out from the draft, but already it's crazy that I was talking about this with Brian Zillum, who hosts the Blue Hardwood Show down in Dallas. And I was noting to him that there's like six moves that Luka has where he's not exceptionally fast, but he has six moves that he can go to at least that create tons of space for him and give him really nice looks at the basket. And it's insane how a rookie already has those veteran moves that he can go to in a game and pull out of the bag late in the game. I mean, that move where he kind of floats through those three defenders because he pulls that little stunt at the top on, I believe it was Rose, or the move earlier on where he's faking the pass and then flips it up into the basket. I mean, stuff like that you just don't see from a rookie.
No, man, he is so, so talented. I mean, he's been playing with grown men since he was 15 years old, you know, all over Europe, mm-hmm. flying like every other night. So, I mean, he's a professional. You know, when people ask him, analysts ask him or media asks him about being a rookie, he just totally, you know, shoves it off. He's like, I don't really care about being a rookie. It's you guys who care about me being a rookie. It's really crazy to watch. It's honestly fascinating. And if anything, NBA scouts should be looking more and more into Europe, because if they can find confident guys like these with just, you know, half of Luka Doncic's talent, there'd be a lot more role players from Europe in this league right now. So yeah, Doncic definitely stood out to me in this game, obviously with 29 points. And those 12 assists also, like those really flashy passes that he has. I mean, Doncic is really, really crafty, and I think that people question his athleticism a lot, but he's always looked like a bigger James Harden to me since I've watched him, even overseas. He just doesn't look athletic off the bounce, but he can really just change it up. He can change up his speeds anytime, and honestly, that step back, not many players have that ability to step back and hit that three. In the NBA. So to have that as a 19-year-old coming into the NBA is really insane. Besides Doncic, though, the guy that kind of stood out to me in this game was Derrick Rose. He had a really solid performance, 21 points and 5 assists in his first game back from being hurt.
Shot 50%.
One thing I didn't like was Ryan Saunders in, like, I think it was 40 seconds left in the game or 30 seconds left in the game. He took Derrick Rose out after having a really solid past few minutes and put Josh Okogie in, I believe. And there's an inbound pass, and then the Timberwolves tried to get it back at half court. I think it was Okogie. He was, like, running out of bounds trying to get the ball. Essentially, DeAndre Jordan came up with it, gave it to Luka Doncic, and everyone saw this, probably the listeners. He ran up the court and hit, like, a 30-foot shot and then took the three-pointer and took the lead. Yeah. I didn't really like that coaching call by Saunders, and I understand that Okogie is the better defender. I just feel like you got to stick with a hot hand in that one. I don't know.
Yeah, that hole where Taj Gibson makes the steal, flips it back to Okogie, and he just kind of mishandles it and ends up flipping it to DeAndre Jordan as he tries to save it from going out of bounds was a bad series of events. I really liked the lineup they had, too, when Derrick Rose and Tyus Jones was out there together, and I didn't like that he finished out the game with Jeff Teague as opposed to one or both of those guys out there. I thought both of those guys, especially with the way Tyus has been playing this season, trusting him to get a turnover late in that game, I thought wasn't a terrible bet either. Overall, though, my thought overall from the weekend going away was Okogie is starting to come into his own. 15 points against the Mavericks, and then you had 17 against against the Pelicans. Looking really good, starting to find a rhythm from outside too, which is going to be really important.
Yeah, Okogie's been playing really, really well, and I think it really comes down to just giving him more minutes, which is something we talked about. I think in Ryan Saunders' first game, he had Okogie in again in the last 30 seconds, and he hit that key three-pointer, that wide-open three, and he missed the former four threes prior to that. So it's just those kind of shots that'll, you know, get Okogie to get better as a shooter and a player. Because on the defensive end, he's just, you know, already super well-rounded. On the offensive end, he's just got to hit his open shots, his uncontested shots. And he was 1-for-8 from three in this past game against New Orleans. And it's just those kind of games that he's going to have to keep on having in order to improve. So I'd rather see him taking threes and missing them than not taking them at all and kind of not doing the Ben Simmons route, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally. I think that's a proper assessment, and I'm really excited because it looks like Saunders really wants to play him a lot of minutes. He had 41 against the Pelicans, and so I think even when Robert Covington comes back, I feel like he's still going to get a pretty decent chunk of time, and so I'm really excited to see his growth and development. We're going to talk about All-Star voting and who on the Timberwolves should go, but first, let's get to some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, we just finished talking about the weekend the Timberwolves had. Now we're going to talk about the All-Star game and which Timberwolves players we think deserve to go and which actually will end up. Give you some ratings on each of these players, maybe some dark horses that maybe won't go, but we hope could find their way onto the All-Star team one way or another. But first, I just want to remind everyone, if you have a smart speaker in your household, just tell your speaker, play Locked On Wolves, and it'll pull it up, and you can be listening to Trey and I from anywhere in your house on that smart speaker right away with the ease of one command. So make sure you're communicating to your smart speaker that you want to hear the podcast. Give a listen via the smart speaker. Trey, obviously everybody knows about Derrick Rose, and we're going to get to him in a second, but everyone knows about Derrick Rose blowing everyone but Curry as far as backcourt voting out of the water in the West. But as far as Towns, not as much gas behind the fire that is the Towns All-Star voting. What do you think of this?
I think it's pretty, you know, I'm not surprised after seeing who's getting in with these votes. But I'm a little disappointed. I think it's more so that people are going to put faith into the media and coaches to make the other 50% of the votes, because it's 25% for media and 25% for coaches, mm-hmm. And players. So those votes, I think people are going to have to rely on, because I think players know Karl Anthony Towns is an All-Star, and you can't leave him out this year. I mean, he's averaging 22.4 points per game, 12.6 rebounds, and 3 assists. So he's having a really solid year. And not to mention, he's really held this franchise together since all this drama's happened. I mean, you know, not really vocally, but just from like those Ryan Saunders videos after his first win, like throwing ice baths on essentially Ryan Saunders, those kind of like videos really like spark interest in fans and players and media and coaches to be like, okay, that's a good guy. He knows what he's doing. He's trying to help this team. He's not trying to be Jimmy Butler and telling the coach to, or the GM to F off essentially. So he's a good guy. And I think he's a great player. And I think that people are going to notice that, and hopefully he'll get more votes over the next week. Ultimately, if he doesn't get a reserve spot and he's not named an All-Star, I'll be pretty disappointed. What say you?
I have the second round, the NBA on NBA.com. They have the All-Star voting second returns released, and I have that list pulled up. The top 10 in front court votes for the Western Conference: LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Paul George, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis. None of those surprise me. The second five blow me away. Steven Adams, or not blow me away, because Nikola Jokic, I think, deserves, I voted for him, but Steven Adams, Kyle Kuzma, Draymond Green, DeMarcus Cousins, how are those in the top 10?
Yeah, it's the fan vote. You know, there's a lot of fans who see DeMarcus Cousins, and they're like, that guy's a beast, plus he's really funny to watch. He flops a lot. So let me vote for DeMarcus Cousins. They don't know that he's hurt. When it comes to like guys like Draymond Green, same thing with fans. Kyle Kuzma, that just is NBA Twitter losing their mind because he's funny on there. Nikola Jokic is becoming, you know, a perennial superstar this year and is a top five MVP vote in my opinion right now. So I voted for him as well. Steven Adams is a low-key guy on there. I think that he is one of the better interior defenders in the league, maybe even a top two, top three guy. So I can kind of see him deserving an All-Star. He's super young, though.
He should not be in the top 10, though.
Yeah, top 10's rough. So, I don't know. Like, obviously, Towns deserves a spot there. You know, there's other guys missing from there, too. So, he'll ultimately get in there, I think. I think the guys like Cousins will fall out, obviously, because they're injured. So, even if they get picked somehow, then, you know, they'll just be replaced. But, you know, that's just the way it goes for right now.
There's a couple. The Warriors are the ones that really surprised me. And, again, I voted for Nikola Jokic. He's on the best team right now. In as far as Western Conference standings, and he's averaging he's just a shade under 20 points per game, and I think 11 or 12 rebounds per game. The one that, other than DeMarcus Cousins, who isn't playing, mind you, DeMarcus Cousins is not playing for the Warriors, he's injured, is Draymond Green for me, because in 29 games played, he is averaging 7 points. He's shooting 23% from downtown. 23% downtown. He's averaging 7.9 rebounds, 6.8 assists, 1.6 steals, 1 block. I mean, again, defensively, he's a solid player, but he's been atrocious offensively. And it's not like he has been collecting an insane amount of rebounds for this team either, or posting close to a triple-double or something like that. This guy, it has pretty decent facilitating skills and is a good defender, but his shot has dropped off the map, and he's not even getting to the line a ton. He's averaging 1.1 free throw attempts per game. Not free throw makes, free throw attempts. So that one really blows me away, and Kyle Kuzma is, I guess, just all Twitter buzz. That's why he's in there. It's upsetting that Towns is putting together, especially the run he's been on the last couple weeks, and he still might actually miss the All-Star game. Or if he doesn't miss it, he'll at least be a sub when he should be in the conversation for a starter.
Yeah, starter for sure. I mean, it's going to be really tough. Like, I don't really know how exactly it's going to go with the votes. I don't know how the coaches are going to want to do these reserves. The hard part about the NBA right now is that the backcourt is so tremendous that it's really tough to get a lot of these frontcourt guys in there besides the starters or reserves. So it's just going to be tough for guys like even Blake Griffin, who's having an amazing year, to squeeze in on a team that's not doing too well outside of the playoff seedings. It's kind of similar to the Timberwolves right now with Carl Anthony Towns. It'll be kind of tough for both of them to squeeze in there just because of the backcourts in both conferences are just insane right now.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, is I do think that missed time should knock you a little bit. And I don't think it'll knock LeBron James, who is just a perennial all-star and is clearly elevating this roster with how they've played without him to a point that they actually might be a playoff team, even though they're just miserable when he's not on the floor. But For other players, that, like, I voted for James Harden and Derrick Rose in the backcourt because of what Derrick Rose is doing with so many fewer minutes than everybody he is beating or competing with as far as stats. But I voted for James Harden above Curry because Curry did miss a decent chunk of time, even though he's having a really good season. But that's stuff that I guess just I take into account because DeMarcus Cousins is a top 10 in All-Star voting. But I think Carl Anthony Towns should be in the All-Star game. Now, here's two that I want to throw at you. On a scale of one to five, should we be considering Wiggins or Roko as dark horses for the All-Star game?
I think that Robert Covington definitely has a chance in the next few years. I think that he could have possibly had a chance this year if he didn't get that bone bruise. Just because of how clutch he's been and how well-rounded he is as a player. And everyone kind of objectively says he's a top three defender in the league from the wing. So I think there is definitely a chance for him. If there's guys like, you know, Goran Dragic, who had a great year last year, was nominated as an all-star. There's a way for Robert Covington to have a very similar way to get into the all-star game this year or even a few years from now or next year. So I like that call, Robert Covington. I don't know if Andrew Wiggins is going to make an all-star appearance in his career. I'm going to just throw that out there. What are your thoughts on that?
That'd be really depressing for a number one pick. yikes. I think that's false. I think he will make an all-star game. I don't think it'll be this year. That said, if he was bad on, Saturday. But in January, now let me just add some controversy to this. In January, averaging 25 points, 42% shooting from the field, 5.2 rebounds, 2.8 assists. All of those numbers are up from where he was, what he was averaging before January, before 2019 kicked off, the year of Wiggins, as we were calling it on the show. I'm just saying, if he puts up like one or maybe even two more 40-point games in the stretch of the last week, and all of a sudden, not only the Timberwolves kind of playing themselves back in that A seed, but they're doing it with the buzz around Wiggins, who already had kind of this mayor of Oklahoma City thing going on Twitter earlier in January. Would that be enough to where he's in position to maybe sub for somebody in the backcourt if there's an injury? Potentially? Or is there not enough votes in the world to get him into this thing?
Well, that was more where I was going with it when I said he might not make one in his career. I think it's more so fans are just so down on Andrew Wiggins. He's such an easy player to be down on just because of his persona on the court and off the court. Obviously, we know him better from watching a lot of Wolves games. And, you know, I love Wiggins. And I really hope he has a chance to make an All-Star game. And obviously, he's going to, you know, put out these numbers that he's doing these past 10 games, averaging 22 points a game. He's going to be putting out those kind of numbers the next few years. He has a high ceiling. I can even see him going to a couple All-Star games like DeMar DeRozan. I just ultimately don't think that fans are going to see that light of Wiggins or side of Wiggins, and I think that they're not going to vote him in this year or any time in the near future. I don't know. I can't really see the whole NBA Twitter frenzy changing their mind on him, even just in a few years. It's tough.
Yeah, you're probably right. But hey, you know what? I can try and push. I can try and hope for the guy, for the best for the guy they're paying so much money to. As far as Robert Covington, I actually do think that he could have been on the All-Star team if he didn't get that injury. Not only because, like you said, how clutch he's been and how good the Timberwolves have been since that trade, which has been pretty well documented, but also because of how good he's been defensively since the trade. He's up in blocks and steals per game, and I think both of those things, obviously there's a lot of things on defense that he does that aren't tangible things you can put in a stat sheet, but I think those two things stick out, especially to the more casual fan, as things defensively that you can really grade. And so, because I don't think the casual fan that maybe is voting on an All-Star game is going and checking out like defensive net rating and stuff like that, or shooting percentage, opponent shooting percentage, right? So I think those kind of defensive stats with the elevated three-point shooting that he's had since the trade are a couple of things that could have actually vaulted him if he was still playing the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I would have loved to see him stay healthy. It would have been really solid for him to get an All-Star bid as a reserve with a lot of injuries in the league right now. I mean, unfortunately, he's only, you know, started 22 games in Minnesota, but those 22 games have been really solid. He's played 35 minutes a game. He's been doing everything for Minnesota that they've asked him to do. And not only just, you know, scoring, but even from a leadership role, he's all over the court all the time. And on the bench, he's always talking to the guys. So he's just a great team player to have. And I think ultimately players around the league respect him as such. So hopefully next year, the year after, that'd be really nice.
Definitely, definitely. All right, we'll get to more All-Star conversation. But first, let's get to another break for some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colton Molesky here talking about the All-Star game and which Timberwolves have the best shot to make it and which ones we think might be able to sneak onto a team. And we haven't talked about Derrick Rose yet, but let's get into it. Derrick Rose, how impressive is this run just with everything that's happened on the court and off the court for D-Rose?
You know, it's incredible to be this resilient through injuries. You know, that many knee surgeries is ridiculous. You know, especially to come back as your former self or close to. But it's former self in the way of, like, passion. He looks just as passionate as he was when he was winning his MVP season. But obviously the skill is different. He looks like a transformed player. Almost a different side of himself completely. He switched from an ISO, speedy, high-flying guard to this crafty slashing point guard that can kick out at will. And it's really, really been impressive. And just his ability to change up hands around the rim, too, has been very nice to see because he can't really dunk anymore. He's only had one dunk this year as opposed to like 100 in his MVP season. Mm-hmm. So it's just been awesome to see such a transformation. And if anything, just him getting an all-star bid will just be, you know, a sign around the league saying that, like, hey, you can come back in this league and people will notice. So I think it'd be awesome if he could get the all-star nod. I think, you know, the off-the-court stuff might be hurting his chances a little bit moving forward, you know, and that's probably a different conversation. But just on the court, he's had really, really great numbers. And, you know, he's really helped Minnesota essentially squeeze out 6 to 7 wins this year by himself in the waning minutes of the games. So,
yeah, I mean, as far as just the fan vote, it doesn't look to be damaging him. It will be really interesting to see when they calculate all the media and player votes, what that looks like and how drastically that changes things. As of right now, Derrick Rose is right in amongst all point guards in the NBA. He's ranked 11th in points per game, and his field goal efficiency puts him right there at 7th. So he's still in the top 10 in field goal efficiency. And he's, again, I've said this before, but he's one of the only players, and right now amongst point guards, he actually is first in three-point shooting percentage at 46% and 48% from the field. And he is the only one amongst this group in points per game that is averaging under 30 minutes per game. I've said this before, but it's just so impressive what he's been able to do with the limited, compared to guys like Curry, Damian Lillard, James Harden, De'Aaron Fox, what he's been able to do with the limited time he's had on the floor. And so I think that's important to note when you're thinking about him as an all-star. I also think that just what he has done to change his game, and if you look at the things that he was doing with the Knicks, or even the Caps, but the things that he was trying to do with the Knicks, the way he was trying to still be the floor general for the Knicks and have everything flow through him and be the guy who was either making all the plays or scoring all the points, and how in just a couple of short seasons he has really changed everything to being just the piece that fits into whatever the team needs for him to be, going for sixth man of the year, just wanting to be a really great teammate above all else, and changing his efficiency, his game to tailor to that goal has been really impressive. And so I think the off-court stuff, I know that there's other off-court stuff that people can still take issue with, but that side of the off-court stuff really is, I would say, almost more impressive than what he's doing on the floor, just because it's so hard to kind of do those mental hoops for somebody like Derrick Rose, who was a point guard, but not only a point guard, but somebody who had to do everything for the Bulls, and now he's tailored it the other way around to where he just wants to elevate everyone around him, and he's taking really good, efficient shots, and he's not shooting crazy amounts every game, and he has really changed every aspect of the way he plays basketball so much, and it's been really impressive to watch, and I think that alone is why he should be on the All-Star team.
Yeah, I think ultimately players are going to vote for him. They've shown a lot of love in that 50-point performance over Halloween against the Utah Jazz, which was an incredible performance. But players showed love via Twitter, and it was kind of obvious that he has a lot of fans in the league, and you know, in the form of players and not just actual fans. So that was good to see. So that's, you know, most likely he's going to make the All-Star team. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I've looked at this roster up and down on both squads. I don't necessarily think that he could fit in on either of my lineups when looking at both. But I understand why he's going to get nominated. I put Steph over him with Harden in the West backcourt just because of how insane he's playing. But just the other guys in the West and the East, there's just so many good backcourt players, especially at the point guard position. It's kind of tough to get Rose in there from an analytical perspective. But being from like a Wolves fan too, like getting Towns and Rose in there would be huge.
It'd be really cool. I think when did the first time, I can't remember, I don't know if it happened in 2004. It'd be the first time though in at least 14 years that the Timberwolves have had two players in an All-Star game in like back-to-back years, maybe even longer. Maybe it was like 2001.
Yeah, I don't even remember. That's crazy.
Like 2000, 2001. I'm not sure. But it's been a really long time is basically the moral of the story, that the Timberwolves had back-to-back years where they have two players in the All-Star game. And so that would be really cool. I really hope that he makes it. And I think that talent should gain traction this last week of the voting. Really interesting, too, because for Towns especially, you talk about all the surveys, all the GM surveys that go out, and how Towns was just last year one of the guys who a ton of GMs would start their franchise with Towns. And so it'll be interesting to see when they go to the teams for the voting what that does as far as changing the landscape of the All-Star voting. But as far as for us, I think that's it. Do you have any other comments, Trey, you want to sneak in at the end here?
Well, if you're a Wolves listener and you find some time, please go vote. Vote for these guys. Vote yes. for Towns. Vote for Rose. Vote for other guys on this team if you want them to get in. You know, number one, though, don't forget this. Do not vote for Jimmy Butler. Don't do it.
Took everything in me not to vote for Jimmy Butler in the East. You know my problem with this.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I got to throw that out there, man. I got to throw the Butler criticism out there.
I love it. I love it so much. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.